Bless you, Father.
I'm grateful for the life that you've given us, for the direction you've led us.
Yes, Lord.
Father, help us to just open our hearts, open our ears,
yes,
open our brains. Father, just to hear the word that you have on the mind of us today. Father, bless the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised,
yes,
in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. You know, I thank God that, I thank God that we know that the city of God is not a literal city. Mm-hmm. We know that it's a people. And we know that when the scripture talks about the mountain of his holiness, we know that Mount Zion is also a people. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's kind of neat when that revelation really comes to you, because a lot of the things that people have taught over the years about heaven and different things like that came out of the book of Revelations, and it's literally talking about the bride of Christ, as she came down out of heaven, she was a city adorned like a bride, you know. And, you know, that literally is a type of the church. And, you know, any city that you go into, it's a city because of the people, not because of the buildings, not because of what's in the city, but it's a city because of the people. And if you want to ever go out west and drive around a little bit, you can find a lot of old ghost towns and old abandoned towns, and there's nothing there. There's no life there. And the neat thing about it is that, you know, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and in the mountain of his holiness.
Yes.
And, you know, that city of God is New Jerusalem, which came down from above. She was adorned as a bride. And a lot of regular Christianity out there, or whatever you want to call it, traditional Christianity, thinks that's going to be a literal city.
Yeah.
But it's not a city, it's a people. And when we come to realize that it is the bride of Christ, it is the church, then it has a lot greater meaning and means a lot more. But, you know, it and when you talk about the mountain of the Lord, you know, Daniel had a vision where he saw a rock cut out of the mountainside rolling down the hill that hit the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had, you know, and those were the kingdoms of this world, and it hit it in the feet, and it brought it down, you know.
Yeah.
And it's going to take the body of Christ literally growing up into that rock and to bring down the traditions that are out there of the world. And, you know, those traditions literally talk about those were kingdoms, and all of those kingdoms are in this world today. You know, the kingdom of Babylon, which is religious foolishness, you know, and which is the head of gold, and I think it had shoulders of silver. And, you know, if you want to see the shoulders of silver, turn on the TV and watch and see how long it takes them to start trying to get the money out of your pocket.
Yes.
It won't be long, I guarantee you. It'll be all about the money and all about the physical blessings of the world. Mm-hmm. And then the brass literally is talks about judgment. Mm-hmm. And instead of having the heart of God, they're always talking about the judgment of God and the condemnation that's going to come upon the earth, you know. And you never hear them talk that much about the love and the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God and how that Jesus paid it all and how that he totally redeemed mankind. And, you know, they quote that scripture, John 3:16, but they really don't, I don't think they believe it when you get right down to it. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, Now, that isn't what you hear.
No.
He didn't send them in to condemn the world, but that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And you know what? That's what it's all about, as far as we're concerned, is about telling people about the goodness of the Lord, and that he's redeemed them. They've been redeemed. Whether they know they're redeemed or not, when Jesus died on Calvary and rose again, he paid that one-time price. He was the perfect Lamb of God, and he took away the sins of the world, you know, for all time, and for everybody, you know. And, you know, the church has to get to the place where they quit heaping condemnation on everybody. And quit telling them how bad of sinners they are, and start telling them more about the redemptive love and forgiveness of Christ. And as they do that, they're going to find that that'll be the thing that'll begin to turn men's hearts. It won't be, you know, you can tell somebody how bad they are forever, and you know what you end up causing them to do? To be worse than what they were. Because they think, well, what's the use? I can't, you know, I'm already bad, you know. And you don't have to tell a person that isn't following Jesus Christ that there's something wrong in their life or there's something missing. They know there is, because they're constantly looking out there, constantly trying to find something. But thank God that we realize that great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. And I tell you, we ought to see that we praise him continuously as much as we possibly can. And as we do that, we're going to find out that he inhabits those praises, and that creates even the atmosphere of his presence everywhere we go, you know, and the mountain of his holiness, and you know, the mountain of his holiness is Mount Zion, and I want you to know, you are Mount Zion, you are that holy hill, you are the temple of God, you are all of those things that everybody keeps saying they're going to build someday. I got news for you. You're lively stones. You're built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And you are the temple of God. You are that city set on a hill. And you are the light of God, because his light's inside of you.
His very handiwork.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Okay.
Aren't you talking about viewing this thing through a different mindset? I mean, the way you're talking about the city of God and all
right.
that, you're seeing it through a renewed mind, a more mature spiritual position where many of the brothers that still see Jerusalem, natural Jerusalem, and they're going to rebuild the temple the Jews are, which all comes out of the fantasies of the natural mind.
Right.
It's just getting that mind renewed.
You know, you have to kind of smile, because you know God has a sense of humor.
Yes.
Because... where did he let them build a mosque
right on
the temple site?
Yeah.
Excuse me. And why did he do that? Because you want to see World War III start?
Yeah.
Go over and knock that mosque down and see what happens. And you know what? Because it's not about natural Jerusalem over there. It's not about that particular land over there. You know, it's about a people. And, you know, until the church wakes up and realizes that they are the temple of God.
Yes.
Why would God build a natural temple someplace again for people to go worship when he's got a multi-membered temple all over the world, you know? And I love that song that we used to sing a lot, you know, all over the world the church is moving, all over, as the prophet said it would be, you know. And to be honest with you, the temple of God is everywhere. Everywhere you go, the temple of God's there. And Paul told him, he said, know you not that you're the temple of God? And, you know, people tend to forget that. And I never have figured, religious people sometimes don't realize that's why the world has such a hard time with them, because in one word they will say, you know, that Christ is in them, and then in another word, it's always he's coming back someday, you know, he's not here, you know, and it's almost a contradiction completely.
Yes.
And yes, he is going to come back, And he is coming back daily inside of you.
Yes.
And when you, you know, I love what was it? It was a Job that said he wouldn't be satisfied till he did what? He awaked in his likeness.
Yes.
And you know what? None of us are going to be satisfied until we come to the full awakening of his likeness.
Yes.
And not that it's a distant thing, but that he dwells right inside of us.
Well, doesn't that awakening, Brother Oscar, start when we get born again?
Yes, it's the beginning of it. That's the beginning of it.
Yes.
But see, what happens a lot of times is that we get born again, and then we start, instead of seeking God and getting to know him for ourselves a lot of times, we start listening to the traditions of the elders.
Mm-hmm.
And traditions of the elders is the religious jargon a lot of times out there that makes the word of God of no effect.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it brings contradiction instead of bringing closeness a lot of times. It actually begins to create a separation between you and everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I got news for you. Back in Revelations where that city of God comes down out of heaven, and it's time for the church to get out of all the thinking about going to heaven and start bringing a little heaven down here on earth and begin to realize that they are that heavenly dimension. They, you know, as God dwells in them, they should bring that heavenly dimension into every place they go and everything they do. And, you know, once we begin to really realize that, we'll come to the realization that you know, even that city that John saw back there, and I did some teaching on this one time, and I might go over it again sometime, about the gates of the city and different things. But those gates were open day and night. Day and night. And until we come to the place where God so opens us up, that, of course, we're the one that closes the gates.
Yes.
I mean, he says in the Psalms, lift up your heads, ye gates, ye everlasting doors.
Yes.
And who'll come in? The King of Glory.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the ones that shut the gates. It isn't him. He said in Revelations also, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open unto me, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. You know, and you know, we have to realize that we can open the gates by praise and by acknowledging him. And once those gates are open, I love what John said back there. He said, and the gates of the city were open day and night.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and I saw therein no temple. And I thought, well, Lord, why didn't you know, what happened to the temple?
Mm-hmm.
He said, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got news for you. He's going to bring us into a revelation of who and what we are in him. And when we awake in his likeness, we're going to find that irresistible nature of God, El Shaddai, the large-breasted nature of God, the love nature of God, is going to begin to be so formed in us that when people see us, they're no longer going to see us, they're going to see him. Because the gates of our city will be so open that they'll see into the Holy of Holies and see the very nature of God, the very presence of God, the very anointing and power of God. And wow, what a tremendous thing. What a tremendous thing. But, you know, that's something that, you know, and it's hard for the religious system out there to receive that because they've been taught for so long about literal cities and literal this. And I've heard preachers preach and say, I can't wait until they start. I've heard it not only that they can't wait. I've heard, well, on such and such a date, they're going to start breaking ground over in Jerusalem to build the temple. Well, you know what? Those dates came and they went.
Mm-hmm.
And they came and they went. And they came and they went. And they came and they went. And they'll keep coming and going.
Mm-hmm.
Because, to be honest with you, that's not what this thing's all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about God revealing himself in his people.
Yes.
It's about, you know, God has not changed from the very beginning in Genesis of what he said concerning man. Let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion. And that's what he's doing. He's changed little by little. He's changing us line upon line. He's changing us until he brings us into that perfect image of himself. And until it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And when we come to that place, then wow, creation's going to begin to start being set free as a people grow up into the revelation of that. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay,
thank
well, you. I've said a lot, thank so you. Anybody got anything you want to say?
Beautiful, Lord.
You know, Oscar, on a little bit of a positive note in reference to the denominations and stuff like that, as I'm sitting there, I think about how it said the Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness to be tested.
Right.
And I'm kind of starting to see the whole denominational structure in somewhat of that light because,
right.
you know, when I was saved, when I was enlightened and all that, I went into the denominational structure. And it's almost like it's a time of testing when you go in there because you hear all this carnal man-made gospel. But if your heart is still toward God and you're still seeking God, you'll continue to move through the wilderness. And eventually when you do come out of that wilderness, you come out in a lot greater power than when you went into the wilderness.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
But
that's true.
I'm really kind of starting to see that a little bit more of a positive vein than I have in years past. I always was prone to, still am, I still find myself kind of getting down and wanting to kind of curse, you know, those denominations. And in a sense, they should be cursed because it's the carnal mind that's ministering the word of God. I think God still uses all that as a wilderness journey for all of us to find our way out of that as we continue to seek His face. But if you don't seek His face, then you will stay in the wilderness. You'll go around that mountain, that natural mountain again, taking more and more laps. You know, like Doug Fortune says, it's all good.
Yeah, it is. It's all God.
Yeah.
It's all God.
Yes.
Yeah.
He knows when the time is right for you to come out.
Right.
Yes.
You know, he's not going to let you come out one day before, and he's not going to keep you in there one day longer.
Right.
And he knows the day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that revelation, you know, will manifest.
Yeah. And a lot of people think when you come out, you're so deceived. What are you? I know when I was involved with the church, we were. And I taught Sunday school and all, so when God called me, well, I couldn't just leave. I had to talk to the pastor because I was in a position of teaching Sunday school. And I started out being an assistant, and then they end up having me be the teacher. And I'm trying to explain to him, and he's looking poor, and I was all deceived. He don't feel like that now. I just saw him yesterday. They hugged me, talked to me, and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know your life. They know what it is.
Yeah.
They've gone and requested prayer, you know, and that. Him and his wife.
Praise God.
Well, see, you never fault anybody for not seeing something.
Right. You're right.
Because I'm not trying to heap condemnation on them or anything, but I'm just saying, in looking at the reality of it, you know, you never fault anybody because they can't see.
That's right.
Right.
And what you do is you shine the light, and hopefully the light will bring that revelation to them. But, you know, God showed that to me, what you're saying there, Jim, concerning Jacob. You know, when Jacob left his father's house initially, he went to Laban's house. And at Laban's house, and God showed me Laban was a type of the church system. That's what it was all about. It was necessary for him to go into the church system. But guess what happened? Jacob had a heart for God, and he wanted Rachel. Rachel's name means the predominant female of a flock. You know, he wanted to reproduce in God, you know. And she was beautiful, and he loved her. And, I mean, when he saw her, he loved her, you know. And to be honest with you, that begins to be our heart's desire when we first come to the Lord.
Yes.
But guess what Laban gave him?
Leah.
The ugly sister. And you know what? Be honest with you, the religious system a lot of times gives you the ugly sister.
Yes.
And guess what bears all the children? The ugly sister. She starts bearing a lot of children, and you keep thinking, Lord. and you get well, and if you look at Leah's name has six meanings to it. It means tiredness, disgustedness, loathsomeness. It means weary of self and all that. And what does God do in the religious system? but get you in all those situations where, man, you think, oh, God, can I ever do what, can I ever reach this perfection and all this stuff?
Come to the end of yourself.
Yeah, come to the end of yourself and all this stuff. And we do that, and we wrestle with that. But, you know, there comes a time, and this is the neat thing about that whole story. There comes a time, and God will even cause you to prosper in that situation, and he will. Mm-hmm. Because if you remember, Laban, to get him to stay, started wanting to give him of the flocks, but didn't want to give him the good stuff of the flocks, you know. Mm-hmm. And get in the religious system out there and start talking about that you want to branch out, you want to begin to do more, and right away, buddy, they'll start trying to tamp you down. They don't want to lose you out of the church. Mm-hmm. They don't want you. I mean, be honest with you, they don't want you to grow up. They like all them little lambs out there.
Yes,
they want that
whole
building full of lambs rather than sending a bunch of them out to be their own flock. You know what I mean? That's right. But guess what? God will even bless you there. Because he blessed him there. And then what happened with him? There come a time when the Lord told him to get up and get out and get back into his father's house, or the land, you know, the land he came from. And what did he do? He had to get up and leave. And what's he do? He comes to a place where he crosses over the river of Jabbok. And Jabbok has a kind of the connotations of coming to an end, you know. And what's he has an encounter with God Almighty.
Yes.
Wow. We all need that encounter with God Almighty.
Yes.
The irresistible nature of God, the love nature of God. And boy, what will that do? It'll bring a revelation of yourself. Because what did he tell him? He says, what's your name? He said, I won't let you go till you bless me, God. And sometimes we can get God down, try to twist his arm. Oh, God, I'm going to pray for 14 days and not eat a thing unless you give me something, you know. And you hear that in the religious system out there a lot. But I'm telling you what, you don't twist God's arm.
You can't.
You don't twist God's arm. What God does is he touches you. Mm-hmm. And God got a hold of him. And it says he threw his hip out of joint, but it wasn't really his hip. He grabbed him in his loins. That word for hip there is a word that means loins. Mm-hmm. He grabbed him in his loins. And I'm going to tell you, he never walked the same after that.
Mm-hmm.
And the loins is a source of new life. And then he began to say to him, what's your name? And he said, my name's Jacob. I'm that deceiver. I'm that supplanter. I'm all those things like that. Heel catcher. He said, I won't bless that. But from henceforth, your name's going to be Israel. He shall rule as God. And then guess what? When he changed his name to Israel, he shall rule as God. Then guess what he did? He crossed back over. And he went back after Esau. And what did he tell Esau? He said, I'll give you everything that I've got. And I'm going to tell you what. We're going to have to go back to the church. And we're going to have to begin to tell them, I'll give you everything I've got. I'll give you everything God gave me. You know, I'll give you the inheritance back. Because that's basically what he was doing. And you know what? And Esau... he didn't do a thing to him. He couldn't hurt him, you know. And I got news for you. That's the picture that God's going to do with the kingdom message eventually, and with the third day message, and with the sonship message, and whatever kind of label you want to put on it. But it's you know. but I'm telling you, eventually they're going to have to come back and say to the church, "I'll give it all back to you. I'll give it to you. I'll give you the inheritance God gave me." Oh, man. They're waiting for that. They think they're waiting for something else, but they're really waiting to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
They're waiting for, you know, Jesus said, you'll not see me again until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And I got news for you. We're going to have to go in that name, and not only in that name, but in that nature, in that character, in everything that entails. And when we go back to the church in that and begin to take them that, then they're not going to be able to resist that. Mm-hmm. And we should love them. I mean, you know, she, to a certain extent, I'm not trying to be ugly, but she's the ugly sister right now. We moved to a certain extent. But you know what? We're married to her. Mm-hmm. And Jacob took Leah, and he took Rachel with him both. And, you know, Rachel only bore the two sons. And her handmaidens had a couple of them. And the rest, the other sister bore all the other sons, you know. And, you know, it seems like a lot of times you don't feel like it at the time, but that tiredness, that disgustedness, that loathsomeness, and all those things that you feel at times are the very things that are causing you to grow up in Him.
Yes.
Because they'll keep you seeking after Him. They'll keep you reaching out for Him. They'll make you be unsatisfied until you come into His likeness. They'll keep you reaching for the real satisfaction, and the only place you'll find it is being Him. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
The fellowship of His sufferings.
Yes.
Same thing He went through when He walked there.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right.
This denomination I come out of is so precious, because every time I see them, there's such a love I have, and she, the wife, always says that we're like David and Jonathan. There's a bond that we feel.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm David, you know, and she, you know.
Right.
But yesterday at this visitation,
yeah.
This funeral, they invited me to their home to come. Mm-hmm. They wanted prayer, you know. They were having health problems and that.
Mm-hmm.
But, and he was the pastor, but they're going to another church now.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel such a love when I see them, and every time their daughters are in town, they have any look at, they invite us to it.
Mm-hmm.
But she yesterday hugged me and invited me. She said, come out and visit me, come out and see me. And I have such a desire to go and to just share with them. And this love is light, God's, it's
well,
precious.
You know, the neat thing about it is God is calling a people up into the Melchizedek priesthood order.
Yes.
That was the order that Jesus was of. He was of that rank and that order too. And that's an order of blessing, not
yes.
cursing. It's an order of
yes.
blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're to bless and curse not.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And creation out there, they're dying to see
mm-hmm.
someone dispense the bread of life
mm-hmm.
and the wine of God, the merriment. You know, like I said a couple weeks ago when I talked about the Feast of Tabernacles, and I talked about them making those huts out there.
Mm.
And after they were out there and they came to that place of enlightenment, they came to that place of anointing, because that's what all that signified, all those things that they made that tabernacle out of, it signified enlightenment, it signified anointing, it signified the fragrance of God, you know. And all this kind of stuff. And then it says, they for 7 days they did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then people think that the Feast of Tabernacle was over in 7 days. It really wasn't. There was an eighth day.
Mm-hmm.
On the eighth day, they all took their lob, their tabernacle, and they carried it and went up to the temple. And when they went up to the temple, they went in there with rejoicing and with joy and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the priest would climb up the stairs to the top of this basin, and they would draw water from the pool of Siloam, which is literally talking about the pool of peace, and they would take it to the top of the stairs, and they would pour water in on one side, and he'd pour wine in on the other side, and it would trickle down, and the people would drink it,
mm-hmm.
and they'd have joy and merriment and everything. Well, guess what? What did Jesus do at the marriage feast of Cana? Turn water into wine.
Yes.
He was fulfilling that Feast of
yes.
Tabernacles. He was
yes.
showing what that was going to happen there.
Yes.
And guess what
Lord.
The body of Christ is going to do as it grows up? It's going to begin to take the water of the Word that He's poured into us. And buddy, He's poured a lot in there, and He's going to keep pouring it in until our water pots, or six of them, Jesus at the marriage feast, there was six. That's the number for man,
mm-hmm.
until we're filled totally to the brim.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're filled to the brim, guess what? There's going to come a time when it's going to be dipped out, and it's no longer going to just be the water. It's going to be the wine of God.
Oh,
and it, oh man,
yes,
that's what the world out there is
yes,
looking for.
Lord.
They need the water,
oh,
but they
yes.
also need to see a people where the wine of God comes out of them,
mm-hmm.
that mature drink, that drink
mm-hmm.
that will bring them into a place of joy and merriment. Praise
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
I'm preaching this morning.
That's all right. That's all right. Lord.
You're saying what you're supposed to be saying.
Yes,
but anyway,
yes, Lord.
But thank God for that verse there.
Yes.
You know, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. I'm going to go one more verse there. Beautiful for situation.
Yes.
The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great king.
Yes,
oh,
Lord.
My goodness.
Mm.
I love that.
Yes.
Beautiful
yes.
for situation.
Praise God.
You know what? People are going to begin to see the beauty of Christ. And I'm telling you what, when they see the beauty of him, they're not going to be able to resist it. They're not going to be able to resist it. And
yes.
and it's
yes.
it's going to come into every situation. It's going to
yes.
come into every circumstance. The joy of the whole earth. You know, until he brings joy and merriment into the earth, he's going to. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, all those things. And until he begins to bring that into the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the side of the north, the city of the great king. You know, the
yes.
north talks about the unknown and the hidden. And this thing's been hidden, and it's been unknown. But I'm telling you what, it's beginning to be known. And he's beginning to bring it from the side of the north
yes.
out and expose it. He's beginning to bring it out into the open.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to bring it out into the open.
Yes.
And I tell you what, creation is going to be set free into that glorious liberty of being the children of God.
Oh,
praise
Jesus.
God.
Praise
and Lord,
God.
Let us do our part, whatever it
yes.
is, in helping to bring that about.
Yes.
If it's just in loving and praying and not laying sins to people's charge
that's
and
right.
telling them they're forgiven instead of telling them how bad of sinners they are all the time, whatever it be,
mm-hmm.
let us fulfill what you've called us to do. Is if it's you going and praying for the ministers that you used to attend their church, and just because the Lord's opening that door for
yes.
you to go
yes.
in and go pray for them,
yes.
just go and pray for them, bless them
yes.
in the name of the Lord, mm-hmm. give them a little bit of that bread, give them a little bit of that wine.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and you know what? If I'll tell you something else. Remember where Abraham was when he met Melchizedek. Where was he coming from? You remember the slaughter of the kings?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, Lord! All those kings out there, other than King Jesus, need to be
yes.
slaughtered. They need to die.
Yes.
The ones of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
yes.
gonna tell you what. Because he wants to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to elevate us into a realm
yes,
where we're of that order, and we bless and curse not,
mm-hmm.
we love him, and we bring restoration and reconciliation to the world.
Yes,
praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
But he had to face them, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
What did he say to you?
He had to face them.
He said that Abraham had to face the kings.
Yes.
Before he met Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. And if you remember what happened? Remember what the king of Sodom told him? He wanted to bless Abraham, and Abraham told him no. And I got news for you. You're not going to receive the blessing from the system out there, because you don't want that blessing. But what you want to do is bless them. You
That's
want
right.
to bring restoration to
That's
them.
Right.
You want to bring them up into the level where they know God in a greater way and are released into a greater freedom in him and a greater understanding in him, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
God is just opening doors. I mean, even with us, there's a sister that I wrote a poem for her sister a few weeks ago, and they meet together at a little church, and they've invited us to come and share with the lady, you know, just that prayer meeting with them and just opening the door. It's just to share him. So we're going in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
For him to be exalted. Him to be
yes.
Yes.
Yes. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Ooh.
Well,
you,
anybody else got anything you want to say? That's about as far as I want to go today.
Yeah.
One thing
That's
were,
beautiful.
Okay.
One thing you were talking about just reminded me of Isaiah 58. And you know, that is the Lord saying, is this not the fast that I have chosen?
Yes.
To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo
yes.
the heavy burdens,
right.
to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it not to share your bread with mm-hmm. the hungry,
mm-hmm.
and that
good.
You bring to your house the poor who are cast out?
Mm-hmm.
When you see the naked, that you cover. I mean, this is all what Jesus mm-hmm. is saying,
right.
you know,
right.
in to cover him,
right.
and not hide yourself from your own flesh.
Yeah.
Then your light shall break forth
mm-hmm.
like the morning.
Yeah.
Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer you.
Praise God.
You shall cry, and he will say, here I am.
Yes, amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Wow. That
Lord,
is
praise
good.
God.
Yes.
That's great.
Praise God. Praise
that
God. Thank you, Jesus.
Start
that's
a fire
the, that's
in the woods
yes.
wet.
Yes. That was good.
Yes. Very good.
Praise
that's
the Lord.
Really, that's what it's all about, isn't
it?
It
is.
Absolutely.
You're talking
it
about
is.
Yes.
Fasting
yes.
and how sometimes the,
yeah.
the church
yeah.
is kind
glory
of.
Glory to God.
Well, they're trying to manipulate
yes,
God is
yeah,
what they're really
what,
doing.
I
mean,
yes.
it's
yeah.
bad to say it in that
no,
sense,
but that's what I was trying
they're,
to say.
You know, they're trying to earn something from God, and,
right.
and you can't earn something that's been freely given. And I'm not mm-hmm. saying fasting's not good, because fasting is good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and
but it could be fast. It's not even involving
right.
food.
It doesn't
what,
have
like
to be food.
Me,
right.
You know,
right.
The fasting
that's the true
can
fast
be fasting
of God.
From your flesh.
That's right. That's what fasting's all about.
Yes.
Bringing the flesh
I
into submission.
You know, you're wanting your way, whatever.
Yes,
you know,
Lord,
I mean,
have mercy.
Amen.
You know, selfishness.
I see, I've never seen it that way.
Huh?
I never see it that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The best thing, you know, the church has been taught you have to abstain
yeah.
from food.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just one.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
everybody here has a fast that he wants you to fast from, and only
mm-hmm.
you know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God.
And praise the Lord. How about you closing the word of prayer for us, Jim?
We thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you,
Lord.
Thank
Lord.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Praise
thank
God.
You,
praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Psalms 47:2 says that you're the joy of the whole earth.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
It doesn't say that you're the joy of most of the earth.
Right.
Or you're the joy of the remnant that comes out of the earth.
Right.
Says you're the joy of the
whole earth. That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
Thank you that you are Lord. You have risen from the dead, and
yes.
you are Lord.
Amen.
Father, we pray that this same stream of life that's been flowing in this room, Lord, we know and we trust is going to continue to flow out there in the sanctuary.
Praise God.
Father, you said that every valley will be brought up and every
yes,
hill
yes.
will be brought down.
Amen.
So, Father, for those valleys that are out in our midst and your people this morning in that church service, bring those valleys up, Father,
yes.
in their life.
Yes.
Raise them up, Lord.
Praise God.
And even those mountains that are in the lives of all of us out there, Lord, bring those
yes.
mountains down. The only way into this thing, Lord, is for us to humble ourselves, Father. That's one of the great keys, I believe, to the kingdom of God, is to humble yourself. Jesus said, happy are you if you know what I'm doing when you wash the feet of the disciples. So, Father, we just want to minister to you out there this morning. We want to give you all the praise and all the glory. We just want you to manifest your life in that congregation this morning. That's the only prayer that we have in our heart this morning, Lord, is for your life to manifest. Because, Father, when your life manifests, that meets all the requirements of every heart that's out in that room. And we'll be sure to give you the glory and the honor and the praise in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.